You're listening to Policy Currents, a weekly podcast from RAND. I'm Evan Banks.
And I'm Deanna Lee. Every Friday, we bring you new insights from RAND's latest research and commentary. It's August 16th.
AI is already being used to optimize supply chains, advance the development of pharmaceutical drugs, and even pilot fighter jets. But despite the promise and the hype, many organizations are struggling to simply deliver working AI applications. In fact, by some estimates, more than 80% of AI projects fail. That's twice the rate of failure for IT projects that do not involve AI. To understand why so many AI projects fall short, RAND researchers interviewed 65 data scientists and engineers with at least 5 years of experience in building AI or machine learning models. This revealed five root causes of AI failures. First, industry stakeholders tend to misunderstand or miscommunicate what problem needs to be solved using AI. Second, many organizations lack the data to adequately train an effective AI model. Third, there's too much focus on using new technology and too little focus on using AI to solve real problems. Fourth, some organizations might lack adequate infrastructure to manage their data and deploy AI models. Fifth, and finally, technology is sometimes applied to problems that are too difficult for it to solve. AI is not a magic wand that can make any challenging problem disappear, our experts write. In some cases, even the most advanced AI models cannot automate away a difficult task. To minimize these issues, organizations should ensure that technical staff understand the purpose of AI projects, invest in robust infrastructure to support data governance and AI model deployment, and work to understand AI's limitations. It's also essential to focus on the problem, not the technology. In fact, this study revealed that chasing the latest and greatest AI models for their own sake is one of the most frequent pathways to failure.
A new RAND study finds a strong connection between foster care and housing instability among young adults in Los Angeles County. Our researchers surveyed nearly 400 18 to 25-year-olds who are experiencing housing instability in LA County, and more than one-third reported involvement with the foster care system. Many also reported a lack of education and employment, mental health struggles, and experience with the criminal justice system. But despite these challenges, this group remains motivated. More than 95% expressed interest in housing, more than 60% were not in school but planned to attend, and nearly half were unemployed but actively looking for work. Although substantial investments have been made to address homelessness in Los Angeles, the number of people experiencing homelessness has only grown over the past decade. Focusing on 18 to 25-year-olds, also known as transition-age youth, is key to making progress on this issue. That's because preventing homelessness at an early age may prevent chronic homelessness, not to mention the dire consequences of living unsheltered, including earlier mortality and increased morbidity. Connecting young people to educational and employment supports is key to helping them successfully transition to adulthood. This will require improved engagement between the child welfare, education, employment, justice, mental health, and the homeless service systems. Better coordination across these areas could help ensure more youth have access to the resources they are eligible to receive.
Russia's war in Ukraine is Moscow's most significant use of force outside its borders since World War II. The stakes could not be higher for the Kremlin. However, Russia's leaders have not clearly explained to the public or the troops what Moscow is trying to achieve through its military operation. Their messages have either been mixed, inconsistent, or completely mismatched with the situation on the ground. As of February 2023, 37% of Russians were unable to give a clear answer when asked about the objective of the war. This lack of a coherent public narrative about the war in Ukraine contradicts a core tenet of Russian strategy, the necessity to link political goals and military action. A new RAND report examines this inconsistency and identifies several possible reasons for Moscow's incoherent messaging. For example, after the initial failure of Russia's invasion plan, President Vladimir Putin might have deliberately avoided specifying an end goal to maximize his ability to change course politically. Or Russian leadership may have failed to provide clear messaging because of its lack of experience conducting military operations at this scale. Whatever the reason, the report's findings suggest that Moscow's publicly declared objectives are unlikely to be useful to those outside Russia. If governments are to gain insights into Russia's bottom line at any given point in time, the authors write, they might have to rely on direct private communication with the leadership in Moscow.
If you have a cell phone, then you've probably received a public safety alert or an Amber Alert. Messages like these come from the Wireless Emergency Alert System, a national public warning system that targets and localizes alerts to our mobile devices. To learn more about the system's effectiveness, RAND researchers surveyed U.S. adults immediately after a nationwide test last October. They found that most people with working cell phones received the test alert. However, receipt of the alert varied based on certain factors, such as phone carrier, age, and community demographics. For instance, device characteristics appeared to make a difference, with older phones and lesser-known brands less likely to receive the alert. Older adults were also less likely to receive alerts, as well as those in more rural communities. Further, 1 in 6 survey respondents said they opted out of at least one type of alert, most commonly Amber Alerts. These findings provide some valuable insights that could help increase the reach of important public safety alerts. For instance, a better understanding of the challenges faced by older adults and those living in more rural areas may help improve public reach. Engaging mobile carriers to find solutions could be another opportunity for improvement. For example, carriers could make wireless emergency alert capabilities more prominent on device packaging or in user manuals. And finally, more work could be done to understand why people are opting out of alerts, especially younger adults and those with subsidized phones, two groups who had high opt-out rates. Overall, the survey results highlight that collaboration and coordination among the government, the private sector, and the American public is essential to ensuring that everyone receives critical information when it matters most.
That's it for this week's episode. If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed today, check out the show notes at rand.org/podcast. We'll see you next week. RAND is a nonprofit institution that helps improve policy and decision-making through research and analysis.